We read today from the Gospel of Matthew. Then Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, and proclaiming the good news of the kingdom, and curing every disease and every sickness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion for them, because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, ask the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest." Then Jesus summoned his 12 disciples and gave them authority over unclean spirits to cast them out and to cure every disease and every sickness. These are the names of the 12 apostles: first Simon, also known as Peter, and his brother Andrew, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John, Philip and Bartholomew, Thomas and Matthew the tax collector, James, son of Alphaeus, and Thaddeus, Simon the Cananean, and Judas Iscariot, the one who betrayed him. These 12 Jesus sent out with the following instructions: "Go nowhere among the Gentiles and enter no town of the Samaritans, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. As you go, proclaim the good news. The kingdom of heaven has come near. Cure the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons. You received without payment, give without payment. Take no gold or silver or copper in your belts, no bag for your journey, or two tunics or sandals or a staff, for laborers deserve their food. Whatever town or village you enter, find out who in it is worthy, and stay there until you leave. As you enter a house, greet it. If the house is worthy, let your peace come upon it. But if it is not worthy, let your peace return to you. If anyone will not welcome you or listen to your words, shake off the dust from your feet as you leave that house or town. Truly I tell you, it will be more tolerable for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah on the day of judgment than for that town. See, I am sending you out like sheep into the midst of wolves. So be wise as serpents and innocent as doves. Beware of them, for they will hand you over to the councils and flog you in their synagogues. And you will be dragged before governors and kings because of me, as a testimony to them and the Gentiles. When they hand you over, do not worry about how you are to speak or what you are to say, for what you are to say will be given to you at that time. For it is not you who speak, but the Spirit of the Father speaking through you. Brother will betray brother to death, and a father his child, and a child will rise against parents to have them put to death, and you will be hated all because of my name. But the one who endures to the end will be saved. When they persecute you in one town, flee to the next, for truly I tell you, you will not have gone through all the towns of Israel before the Son of Man comes." Let's join together in our affirmation of faith. We belong to God, creator of all that is and all that is to come, abundant provider of the gifts in this life and the gifts in our own hearts. It is God alone who gives life, who is generous beyond measure with grace and blessing. We follow Christ, whom God sent to teach and heal, to show us a new way of living, with love and trust and courage, with joy and generosity. In this faith, Jesus gave of himself, even his very life. He was crucified and buried, yet God raised him from death, and he lives among us and grants his Spirit to us. We live by that Holy Spirit and entrust ourselves to its guidance and empowerment. As members of the Church, the body of Christ, we devote ourselves to lives of love, rejoicing in the power of forgiveness, the reality of resurrection, and the mystery of eternal life.
Our focus scripture this morning comes from the book of Genesis, the 18th chapter, verses 1 through 15. It's a portion of the story of Abraham and Sarah. We know that story. We've heard this story before. So I share this portion with you this morning, and it's from Eugene Peterson's message, which I will read this morning. So pay close attention to the story. God appeared to Abraham at the oaks of Mamre, while he was sitting at the entrance in his tent. It was the hottest part of the day. He looked up and saw three men standing. He ran from his tent to greet them and bowed before them. He said, "Master, if it please you, stop for a while your servant with your servant, and I'll get some water so you can wash your feet. Rest under this tree. I'll get some food to refresh you on your way, since your travels have brought you across my path." They said, "Certainly, go ahead." Abraham hurried into the tent to Sarah. He said, "Sarah, get three cups of our best flour. Knead it and make bread." Then Abraham ran to the cattle pen and to his servant, and he picked out a nice plump calf and gave it to the servant, who lost no time in getting it ready. Then he got curds and milk, brought them with the calf that had been roasted, set the meal before the men, and stood there under the tree while they ate. The men said to him, "Where is your wife, Sarah?" Abraham said, "In the tent." One of them said, "I'm coming back about this time next year. When I arrive, your wife Sarah will have a son." Sarah was listening at the tent opening, just behind the man. Abraham and Sarah were old by this time, very old. Sarah was far past the age for having babies. Sarah laughed to herself, "An old woman like me get pregnant with this old man of a husband?" God said to Abraham, "Why did Sarah laugh, saying, 'Me? Have a baby? An old woman like me?' Is anything too hard for God? I'll be back about this time next year, and Sarah will have a baby." Sarah lied. She said, "I didn't laugh," because she was afraid. But the man said, "Yes, you did. You laughed." These are the words of our faith. Thanks be to God. Good morning, God. You know, it's good that we could all be together this morning. Because you see, we need to talk. We need to talk about this story about Sarah and her laughing. You remember it, don't you? You know, you told Sarah that she was going to have a son, and she laughed. You know, you seemed a little bit surprised by this. Maybe a little bit annoyed. Maybe even insulted. No, I know that no one ever likes to be doubted. None of us like that. But did it ever cross your mind that some of the things that you promise us really seem to us humans like, things that are impossible, out of the realm of possibility? They can't be. Maybe you just forgot how we are sometimes. You know, we laugh. We laugh at things that are funny. We laugh when we're happy. We laugh when we're embarrassed. Sometimes that's just a reaction, you know. Or when we're nervous. Sometimes we laugh when we're scared or skeptical. You know, you've heard that skeptical laughter before, when somebody in church brings up something new that we've never done before and we laugh. We think it's so funny because that just can't happen. There's no possible way that could come about. We laugh when we think things are impossible. And we laugh sometimes when we get caught. It's something we're not supposed to be doing. And you have to admit, having a baby when you're in your 90s is pretty far out there, pretty radical. Doesn't seem like that could ever happen. So Sarah laughed. Abraham laughed too, you know. This isn't the first time he'd heard that promise. You promised him that just a little bit ago in this chapter that we just read together. In the first part of that chapter 17 story, you told Abraham that he was going to have a son. And he laughed. He fell down on his face and he laughed. He didn't seem too insulted by that, too annoyed, too surprised. But Sarah laughed. Well, she got caught. She laughed. And you know what? When Abraham heard Sarah get the promise that she was going to have a baby, although he'd already heard it once before, you know, I bet he snickered a little bit too. Why wouldn't Sarah laugh? Really, if you think about it, pretty far-fetched, isn't it? Probably thought it was the funniest thing she'd ever heard. At her age, have a baby? Abraham be a father? Maybe it was nervous laughter. You know, it's kind of nerve-wracking being in your presence sometimes. Maybe she was scared. It could have been frightened laughter. After all, what would people think of her and Abraham? How, if this was really, really true, if it was really actually possible, although she didn't think it was, she might be scared about, you know, well, how are we going to manage this? I barely have enough energy to make it through the day by myself, let alone take care of an infant. And maybe she laughed because she was scared that maybe you actually can do anything. Nothing is impossible for you. That's kind of a scary thought to us too, isn't it? You see, sometimes, God, we doubt. We doubt your promises. We doubt the things that you say you can do. It's not that we are lacking so much faith as we just, in our human minds, we can't comprehend the things that are possible for you. Beyond what our minds can handle. And so we laugh. People of faith have laughed at you before, you know that. Jesus sends his disciples out and tells them to go out and heal and cast out demons and to take nothing with them. That sounds pretty funny. I'll bet the disciples laughed a little bit at that. That Noah story, building the ark, I bet Noah thought that was a little bit funny in the beginning, didn't he? Didn't he laugh a little bit? So we laugh sometimes. Like Sarah laughed when she heard what she thought was impossible. Even though she hoped it might be, she doubted. But, you know, the good thing is that you didn't hold it against her. When Sarah laughed, you could have said, "All right, Sarah and Abraham, I'm done with you. I'm going to find somebody else that won't laugh at me." But you didn't. You kept your promise. You came through again with what we too often think is impossible. You know, we have every intention of being faithful, but sometimes it just seems too impossible, and we laugh. Because you know, this faith business can be difficult. We know you hear us laugh. But even though it may still surprise you, still annoy you, even hurt your feelings, thanks for overlooking it and continuing to do the amazing, unexpected things you do. Those seemingly impossible things. Hopefully, maybe someday we won't laugh at you, but joyfully with you. Thanks for listening, God. Let us join together in the prayer that Jesus taught. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.